Elon held out his arms to them, as if for a hug. "Want a piece? Come on." The dogs rushed him, snapping. He stayed still while they bit him, grinning in the face of such ugliness, a horrible grin that masked something even uglier. It flickered in his eyes like downed power lines no one could get near enough to fix. The dogs bit him, and he let them, grimacing but not swatting them away. Fancy felt weirdly jealous of the dogs, at the intimacy Elon was allowing them. Until one by one, the dogs stopped biting him. They backed away, first whimpering, then foaming at the mouth, then puking, then dying.
"Who else?"
Elon was bloody and ravaged, and grinning. He walked past the dead dogs, offering himself to the ones still left.
"I could do this all night. Any takers?"
The remaining dogs looked at one another and whined. Elon lowered his arms.
"Smart."
He removed a few wet wipes from his pocket, and not only wiped away the blood from his wounds, but the wounds themselves. Fancy was beyond impressed. He could change things, too, the way Kit could. As though a part of this place belonged to him, too. The thought didn't upset her.
"How did you do that?" "You're asking me?" Elon said. "You said it was a happy place. I thunk happy thoughts."
Elon squatted and petted one of the dogs.
"Good boy. I know I look good on the outside," he told the dog. "But on the inside, pure poison."
The dog licked his chin and rested its head against Elon's chest when Elon leaned back and propped himself against one of the dead dogs behind him. Elon stared at the bloody sky as the other dogs crowded close to him. Fancy entered the circle of dogs and sat before Elon and really looked at him for the first time, noted the dark, smiling weirdness behind his eyes. He let her watch, not bothered by her.
"This is where you do it," he said, "where you kill people. I've been hearing that you and Kit were helping to rid Portero of bad guys on the sly. But it's not about that, is it? It's about you, and how you need to control everything, who lives, who dies, who your sister can hang out with. Even trying to control your own development." He batted one of her pigtails. "Like hair ribbons will keep you young forever."
She shrank from him. "You don't know anything about it."
"I know a spoiled brat throwing a tantrum when I see one."
"Fine. I'm a brat and I want to control everything, but I can't because I snap over the littlest thing, right?"
"Right."
"Like losing my sister to a boy so worthless his own brother pushed him down a flight of stairs?" He didn't even look guilty about it.
"You know about that?"
"All about it."
"So you think you know me?"
She found herself wanting to fill the silence with an apology, but what was the point? Cordell's plus Turner's equals disaster. Daddy had solved that equation long ago.
"Why would you try to kill me with dogs, anyway?" Elon asked. "Seems like if you really wanted me dead, you'd do it yourself, with your bare hands, chop me into pieces, like you said."
"I didn't want to get your blood under my fingernails. It would have made me feel bad." It seemed silly not to be truthful with someone you had just tried to kill. "Gabriel's blood under my nails, though? I wouldn't mind that at all."
"Would it be worth losing your sister?"
She looked toward the grave where Kit was hiding.
"I already lost her."
Elon's head smacked against the floor.
"Ouch!"
The dogs had gone, and they were back in Gabriel's room. Fancy hadn't even noticed the change.
"We can only stay in the happy place for a little while," Fancy explained, as Elon picked himself up off his brother's bedroom floor. "What about Gabe and Kit?" he said. "How are they getting back?"
"How would I know? I don't even care. Kit'll look after your brother." Elon drove her home, and she made him park well away from the house, just in case Mata was awake. As he walked her across the yard, he paused before the cellar doors.
"You want to see?" she asked. Everybody was curious about the cellar.
Elon nodded,
so she threw open the doors and led him down the steps. As he looked around, she imagined him on the shelves in neat, labeled pieces, like the painting he'd done of his father, and felt an urge to pull at him, to make sure he wouldn't come apart like monkey bread. She dug her nails into her palms to keep her hands in check.
"Where are the bone saws?" he asked. "Those old-fashioned ones. What did Guthrie call them?"
"Osteotomes," she said, marveling at how normal he made it all feel. "Cops took them as evidence years ago. Haven't seen them since. And they're really old and valuable, too. Daddy loves all those really old devices."
Daddy had used those old devices to dismember his victims, usually while they were still alive. He'd then hide the bloodless, individually wrapped pieces in random places around town. By the time Daddy had gone to trial, all the victims had been accounted for, but not all their parts. Since Daddy hadn't been able to remember every hidey hole, several of the victims had been buried without hands or toes or buttocks. Only last month, a kid hunting for pretty bird eggs had found Mrs. Edith Burleson's forearm wrapped in butcher paper inside the knothole of an oak tree. Unlike with the other victims, Daddy hadn't told the cops where the rest of Mr. Turner was hidden. When asked, he'd only say,
"You're lucky to even have his arm."
Most people thought that he must have eaten Mr. Turner, and that's why he hadn't been found. Fancy thought it highly unlikely, though it bugged her that she couldn't rule it out as a possibility. Daddy was mysterious. Elon sat on the cot and ran his hand along the thin mattress, perhaps imagining his father lying there. Perhaps imagining too well, because he shot off the cot and wiped his hand on his pant leg.
"Has Guthrie ever talked about that night?"
"He said he didn't do it." Elon was still scrubbing his hand against his leg. He didn't seem to notice he was doing it. Fancy hoped he stopped soon, before he scrubbed all the skin off.
"It's what he told Mata when she caught him. Caught in a lie? Deny till you die."
Elon stopped scrubbing.
"Do you agree with that?"
"I like to know the truth, but I lie to Mata all the time. Some people can't handle the truth." Thunder rumbled outside, and the distant smell of rain poured into the cellar through the open doors.
"You better go," Fancy told Elon. "Summer storms are the worst."
"Yeah," he agreed, and then just stood there.
"Or..."
Fancy couldn't believe she was about to say it.
"We could go to my room."
Elon smiled at her, and even after all this time, it still hit her like a kick to the chest.
"Okay."
Fancy led him out of the cellar and took him across the yard, past the riotous flap of the laundry sheets billowing like sails on the clothesline, clean and white against the dirty gray sky. She led him inside the sleeping porch and saw right away that he didn't belong there. He didn't fit. Elon wasn't the tallest boy in the world, but he looked like a giant at the tea table, his knees jutting up twice as high as the tabletop. And though Fancy was shorter than Elon, she was a giant too. She'd never noticed before. She tried to continue not noticing as she turned on the phonograph out of habit and turned the volume low when My Baby Shot Me Down began to play. Mata was baking bread. She could smell it. Cranberry bread. Daddy's favorite. Kit's, too. It was a shame neither of them was home to enjoy it.
"All of a sudden," said Elon, watching her closely, "you look more sad than angry."
"Maybe I caught my sadness from you."
"I'm usually better at hiding it," he said, not bothering to deny it. "Sorry."
"Be sad if you want. I don't care."
"I know you don't," he said sadly.
But Fancy didn't want to think about Elon's bad feelings, not when she had so many of her own.
"I don't know what to tell Mata about Kit." "Kit'll be back," Elon said, as if he had any say in it. "I know Gabe will. He's got to work tonight."
"They won't leave the happy place unless I let them. And I don't think I will."
"You're such a brat," he said, annoyance overpowering his sadness. "But it's no wonder you act the way you do."
He slid off the pink mushroom stool and pushed it away, crossing his legs on the floor.
Your room looks like it was decorated by a demented kindergartner, which is what you look like. Don't you have any big girl clothes?
I could see you getting on me about trying to kill you and Gabriel, or the way my daddy killed your daddy, but my furniture? My clothes?
I can't change who you are, who your people are, or what they did. But tables and dresses? That I can change. Maybe if I keep at you for long enough, you'll let me undress you.
Fancy surprised herself by laughing out loud. She quickly put her hands over her mouth.
I mean, and then dress you in something more appropriate. You make me feel like a dirty old man looking at you in those little girl clothes. You know what I mean?
Fancy couldn't believe she was having such an inappropriate conversation.
Mata keeps telling me to get different clothes. I just don't want people looking at me more than they already do.
People are gonna look at you regardless. Hot people always get looked at.
Do you like being looked at?
You think I'm hot?
No, that's good,
he said when she stammered.
I finally got your attention. Too bad I had to nearly die for it.
I'm sorry, I'm just going through something right now.
I can see that.
He leaned forward, elbows on the table.
What do you see?
Why did you push Gabriel down the stairs? He leaned back.
Because I love him, and because pain is relative.
She thought of Kit.
Pain is relatives.
Elon laughed.
It's always family, right? What else could fuck up a person as much as his family?
She touched his hand. Don't say fuck. He turned his hand over beneath hers, and their palms touched. Fancy understood what it must be like to get struck by lightning. She felt as if her hair were standing on end.
Fancy?
Fancy started at the sound of her sister's voice.
Let us out!
Did you hear that?
Elon asked, staring all around the room.
It's just Kit, Fancy said, begging for help that she's not going to get.
Fancy, I'm serious. Let us out. Gabe says he has to work. Besides, the happy place air has given him a headache.
Yeah,
it was Gabriel.
My nose is starting to bleed.
Good.
Was that Gabe?
Elon sat up.
Where the hell are they?
In the teapot. Startled, Elon stared down at the table, and at the bottom of the pink teapot, half full of cold chamomile, stood Kit and Gabriel. They were on the platform in the happy place where their graves had been, staring up at Fancy and Elon.
What the hell?
Elon poked his finger into the teapot.
Gabe?
Ow!
Elon jerked his finger away, but his brother was laughing.
Just kidding.
Don't pay any attention to them, Fancy said. They won't be so amusing after I flush them down the toilet.
Please don't, Fancy, Elon said as he sat back against the screen. Because if I see one more weird thing today, my head'll explode.
Listen to him, Fancy, Kit said from the teapot. I don't know how to get us out of here.
Neither did Fancy, but she had sent them all to the happy place without using the kinetoscope, possibly breaking all the laws of physics. But that's what laws were for, breaking. Fancy concentrated on Kit and Gabriel, their bodies rippling under the tea. Concentrated on Kit, who waited so patiently to be saved, even though she'd betrayed Fancy so egregiously. Fancy grabbed the teapot and tossed out its contents, and along with the expected splash of tea, Kit and Gabriel also hit the hardwood floor with a resounding thud. Elon looked away from them and said to Fancy,
See? Now my skull's splattered all over the room. Are you satisfied now?
Fancy wouldn't have minded seeing Elon's skull. She was sure it must be very handsome. She remembered what Kit had said about wanting to see Gabriel on the inside. But even though she suddenly understood what Kit must have been feeling, it didn't make her any less angry.
Girls!
Everyone held their breath at the sound of Mata's voice outside the door of the inner room.
What was that noise? Our old steamer trunk tipped over,
Kit called.
Sorry, Did we wake you up?
No, I'm just about to shower. When I'm done, y'all help me take in the laundry, okay? Before the storm hits?
Yes, ma'am,
cried the sisters in unison. Gabriel jumped to his feet and helped Kit to hers. They were both remarkably clean and dry for people who had just returned from the inside of a grave by way of a teapot.
I can't believe you got us out of that place.
I got you out, Fancy snapped, and then glared at her sister.
Why do people always give you the credit for everything?
It's good to see you still alive, Elon, said Kit, ignoring Fancy.
Ignoring her, like some stranger on a street corner.
Good, but troubling, because if I know my sister, she didn't plan on you and your brother coming back alive. I had better alert NASA. I just know that Fancy not getting her way for the first time in her life has opened up a wormhole in time and space.
Maybe we ought to go, Elon, said Gabriel, eyeing Fancy uncomfortably, unlike his brother, who looked more entertained than nervous. Miss Lynn'll be done with her shower any minute.
Kit ruffled his wild mane of curly hair. She won't care.
I care, said Fancy.
I think Gabe's right, said Elon, in his let's-keep-the-peace tone as he got to his feet. We'd best get while the getting's good.
Gabriel kissed Kit rather sloppily in his haste and waited for his brother by the screen door.
I'll call you later, Elon told Fancy.
He said it like a threat, but Fancy understood that he didn't mean it that way, so she nodded. Her hand still tingled from when he'd held it. When the brothers were gone, Kit glared at Fancy, like Gabriel's lousy kissing was her fault. She said,
You do like Elon. I knew you did. Notice how I'm not running after him trying to chop off his head?
Fancy threw Kit's favorite t-shirt to the floor and used it to mop up the spilled tea. You don't care about me the way I care about you. You never did. She picked up something that looked like a compact from the floor. She shook the tea off it, but before she could open it, Kit snatched it from her.
What's that?
Kit opened it and breathed a sigh of relief.
Thank God they didn't get wet.
What didn't?
My pills.
Kit waved the little compact, or whatever it was, proudly.
I'm on the pill.
Why? Kit gave her sister a sardonic look.
You're having sex with him?
As she said it, she knew it was true. People said that you couldn't see a difference, but Fancy could, now that she was looking. Kit had the same pixie hair and skinny limbs, but there was a certain ripeness, a ruddy glow beneath her brown skin. So ripe she'd been plucked while Fancy still hung green and bitter on the vine.
Of course you are.
Fancy laughed humorlessly and tossed the wet t-shirt onto Kit's bed. With Franken, too? Was Franken the first? Kit burst into tears, a shocking explosion. Kit often pretended emotion, but not this time.
Gabriel was the first, the only, no matter what you think about me.
Was it bad?
Fancy went to Kit.
Did he hurt you?
Of course he hurt me!
Kit pushed her away and scooped Kleenex from the box on the vanity.
It always hurts the first time.
But it was beautiful.
Only you would think pain and blood and bodily fluids were beautiful, Fancy snapped.
Stop crying.
Why should I?
Kit threw the box of Kleenex at Fancy's head.
Because you never cry? Because you don't know how? Because you never felt anything real your whole life? Well, I have, and I'll cry all I want.
Over a stupid boy?
Over how I can't share something so beautiful with an unfeeling bitch.
I'm unfeeling?
Fancy grabbed a jar of squirrel brain and brandished it. When you go all psychotic on your precious Gabriel and start doing surgery on him, you ask me again who's unfeeling. You're not any better than me. I know you wish you were.
You're the one who thinks you're better than me, that I'm an animal because I don't mind gutting people or get prissy whenever I get a little blood under my nails. But it doesn't matter. I don't have to be better than you. I don't have to be anything like you. Gabe likes me for who I am.
A killer.
Fancy put the jar back on the shelf with all the other jars.
He knows about me, said Kit defensively, as though she were ashamed of who she was.
I told him everything, even about the happy place. I wanted him to know before we did it, and I love doing it with him. It used to be only stabbing people made me feel connected with them, but it's so weird. When I'm done with Gabe, he's not dead or cut up, just sweaty and whole and in love with me. And I like that. He's the good one, not me. He's an angel. So is Satan, and he's in hell now. Maybe Gabriel'll join him there. Kit froze. You'd better not do anything. I mean it, Fancy. You better not touch him. I won't have to. She slammed out through the screen door. From Fancy's Dream Diary. Kit was pregnant, and I was helping her pick out a crib. I picked up a pot instead and asked her if she thought babies preferred being boiled or baked. She snatched the pot out of my hands and said, neither. I snatched it back and said, we'll see. Chapter 21. As Fancy parked her bike outside the Standard before class, she saw Elon sitting below the deserted ticket stand. She figured he'd be sitting on the bench at the curb on any normal day instead of on the ground. But the bench was inexplicably covered in blood and flies. Fancy sat next to Elon. What happened over there? He glanced at the bench, then went back to his sketchbook. Dunno. It was like that when I got here. Fancy looked at what he was drawing, a series of broken mirrors. Just a sketch, but even his sketches looked like they should be hanging in a museum. A face stared out of the shattered mirrors, Elon's own face. His eyes in one of the glass shards were a rabbit's eyes, scared and trapped. Why are you sitting in the heat? Cooler out here than upstairs. Were you waiting for me? He did that sometimes, but not so often that she took it for granted. Nope. But it's nice to see you, especially when you ain't trying to kill me. It couldn't have been too nice to see her. He hadn't looked at her once. I want to talk to you. He finally looked at her, and his real eyes, unlike the drawing, were anything but scared. Just the same ironic gaze he always gave her. So, talk. She stared around the street. Not here. Where, then? Someplace public, I hope. You pick, if you don't trust me. I don't. He crumpled the drawing and tossed it into a nearby garbage can. She felt a pang to see such beauty so casually disregarded. When class was over, Elon drove Fancy to Smiley's for cheese fries. Tons of kids were squeezed into booths not big enough to hold them all, or standing at the counter shouting their food orders. They snagged one of the tiny, couple-friendly tables by the windows. As she ate, Fancy hummed along to Shaboom playing on the jukebox. Elon frowned at her humming, half amused and half irritated. You like that crap? It's not crap. It's historic. You like history? No, just songs from history. They're soothing. I guess a girl as full of rage as you needs tons of soothing. I'm not full of rage. When he just looked at her, Fancy sighed and said, yesterday was unfortunate. I'm not like that, usually. To her embarrassment, the happy place materialized in Elon's water glass, still as foul-looking as it had been when she'd misbehaved. Sorry. Elon peered into the glass, his lip curled at the sight of the rotting flamingos. How are you doing that? Fancy shrugged. Just happens. It's a coping mechanism. What are you coping with? Trying to kill me and my brother? This isn't about you or your stupid brother. This is about me and Kit and how... Fancy faltered, her stomach burning, and not from the cheese and jalapenos she just swallowed. She pushed her cheese fries away and took a sip of her milkshake. She won't even talk to me anymore. Can you blame her? Elon helped himself to her cheese fries.
Trying to kill off the love of your sister's life is always a dumbass strategy.
What about you? What kind of strategy involves pushing your brother down the stairs?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Why'd you do it? Is he horrible?
No.
So he's a perfect angel?
Elon polished off her fries and said, There's a middle ground between horrid and angelic. If I swallow my water, am I going to swallow that flamingo, too?
Fancy was about to tell him not to be ridiculous when she remembered tossing Kit and Gabriel out of the teapot. So she took a deep breath and made herself calm down. And after a few seconds, the happy place disappeared from the glass. She didn't bother answering Elon's question, though, because she didn't know the answer. She didn't know herself at all anymore.
What's the worst thing Gabriel ever did? She asked, trying to sound casual.
Maybe she didn't know herself, but she was about to know absolutely everything about Gabriel.
Why? Elon asked suspiciously, and rightly so.
I'm curious.
About Gabe?
About why Kit likes him.
It's a Turner thing. We're all charming as hell.
I saw you slap him, she reminded him, lest he get too full of himself. That day we bought the dresses?
He was sleepwalking,
Elon said, infuriatingly unapologetic about his behavior. You said you wanted to strangle him.
The way you strangled Kit?
Yeah, all the time, he admitted cheerfully.
Especially when he gets all holier than thou.
Fancy gave up trying to shame him, as it appeared to be an impossible task.
He got any friends? Guys from school, bandmates, except Tony. About to fire his ass anyway. Tony Castle, he elaborated, on seeing Fancy's blank expression. He's our bassist.
Why you gonna fire him?
Don't even get me started.
It was nice to see that she wasn't the only person in the world who irritated him.
But why don't Tony like your brother? She asked, storing the info away. Tony only likes himself.
Elon leaned back in his chair and crossed his arms.
Is this why you wanted to be alone with me? To talk about other guys?
Fancy decided to back off, for now. What do you want to talk about?
You and me. All these things I want to say to you and then do to you.
What things? Like torture?
Fancy was astounded he would admit to such a thing. 'Cause I could torture you a lot better than you could torture me.
He gaped at her as though a unicorn horn had sprouted from her forehead.
I'm not talking about torture.
What then?
Drink your milk, and maybe I'll tell you when you grow up.
Milkshake. Don't treat me like I'm five.
I thought you liked being babied, he said, his eyes wide and innocent. That's how Miss Lynn treats you.
It's Mata's job to take care of me. I don't need that from you. To show him how adult she could be, she decided to make a peace offering. You want this? He looked where she was pointing.
Your cherry?
I don't like maraschinos. She plucked it off the top of her milkshake. Do you want it or not? Elon took the cherry, carefully wiped it clean, and put it in his shirt pocket. You're saving it? He smiled, a secret smile that annoyed her. She wanted to know his secrets.
Not ripe enough yet. Soon, though.
Okay?
Okay.
Fancy found herself smiling with him. Even though his smiles hurt her chest, they were very infectious smiles. But she had no idea what she just agreed to. Fancy biked through the rain Thursday morning. Tony, like the sisters, lived up square, but in the less wooded, more suburban and cookie-cutter part of up square, near Torcedo Road, in a two-story split level that was more a garage than house. She checked the address against the one she'd copied out of the phone book, parked her bike, and rang the bell. A boy, much more vibrant-looking than his house, answered the door.
Are you Tony Castle? Yeah.
He looked her up and down, lingering on her chest. I want to talk to you. It felt strange not to have Kit speaking for her. She had to shove each word in the back to get it free of her mouth. "Can I come in?" She passed through a mudroom into the living room, nearly tripping on an umbrella. She stopped, wide-eyed, at the state of the living room. The lacy white bra under her shoe, the overturned furniture, the beer bottles rolling and clinking together.
"Pardon the mess."
He stretched, his jeans low on his hips. He noticed her staring and smiled.
"Had a beer bash last night."
"Where are your folks?" Fancy couldn't even imagine what Mata would do to her and Kit if they wrecked their house the way this boy had.
"No folks. Just me and the old man. He's offshore this week."
He opened a box on the coffee table and removed a tightly rolled joint.
"You do this?"
"No." She'd smoked with Kit once, but she wasn't about to get high with some stranger. "Why don't you like Gabriel?"
"Gabe Turner? He's the one don't like me. 'Cause of your sister. He don't like the way she looks at me."
"Y'all fight over girls?"
"Girls fight over me. The band thing. The looks. The gold stars in my eyes. See?"
He did have gold stars flashing against the brown irises of his eyes. But so what? Fancy withdrew from the rancid green cloud surrounding him. "What's Gabriel really like?" Tony sat back.
"I don't know. He was cracked for a while. He'd get in these weird moods, like we'd be on stage and he'd start crying for no reason."
He laughed.
"Like a bitch. I know he was young, but still. This one time, he even ran away from home. Of course, that was after his pop got killed."
"So he's not like that anymore?"
"Nah. After he got religion, he calmed way down. Like church was some kind of weird-ass shock treatment for him. Speaking of weird-ass, I hear you've been taking care of people."
He mimed shooting himself in the head.
"Around town? Putting bad guys in their place?"
"Yeah?" He sat next to her.
"Think you could take care of something for me?"
"What?"
"This."
He took her hand and pressed it against his crotch.
"You know how, right?"
He sat back, getting comfortable.
"I know your sister does."
Fancy lifted his base from the floor, gripped it like a baseball bat, and swung it at Tony's head. "Did that take care of it?" she asked, sometime later. But Fancy didn't expect an answer. Not from a corpse. Kit was in bed reading a biography of Tori Amos when Fancy got home.
"Still haven't figured out how to kill without getting dirty, huh?"
she said, taking in Fancy's blood-stained clothes. She checked the time and put her book aside.
"Mata's gotta be up by now. Get cleaned up and come help me with dinner."
Fancy couldn't imagine chopping onions or straining pasta or grinning at Mata like everything was cool.
"You want my help?"
Her voice shook.
"Are we helping each other now?"
"Go take a bath, Fancy, and calm down." "Is that your answer for everything? To send me away? You said nothing would ever split us up."
"We're not split up. I'm here."
"To make dinner? To run off and screw some boy when I need you?" "I needed you, Kit. If you had been with me, I never would have killed that boy."
"Stop yelling before Mata comes in here and sees you looking like that. I don't care what she sees."
The walls began to flicker as the happy place projected onto them. In the stone circle where Fancy had buried Tony, a green shoot had already started to sprout. Fallen fruit from the old man tree rolled into their room, and Kit picked it up.
"Look what you're doing! I told you one day you wouldn't be able to separate real and unreal."
Fancy pressed her hands to her eyes, and when she looked again, the fruit was gone from her sister's hand, and the walls had returned to normal. But Kit was no longer her Kit, and that was just wrong. Kit reached for her, but Fancy slapped her hand away.
"Don't touch me. Go touch that little creep you like so much, but don't ever touch me again."
Fancy ran out of the house and into the rainy remains of the day, with no destination in mind, but she ended up at Boney Creek. She sat on the edge of the water, the rain washing Tony's blood from her skin and mixing it into the mud beneath her. The rain sizzled against the creek surface, and every now and then, Fancy saw a flash of Daddy's face peeping out at her. She wished for him with an almost painful longing. Maybe one day she would miss Kit in the same way, not because she'd been arrested, but because Kit had simply walked away from her. Fancy didn't understand why people found her so easy to leave. A flash caught her eye. A single, shining raindrop hung suspended over the creek. It grew bigger as she watched, open-mouthed, expanding until it was a beach ball of water. Daddy's head appeared within the gigantic raindrop, huge and distorted, like a view in a fishbowl. He smiled at her. Fancy? She put her head back and let the rain fall into her eyes. She blinked.
You're not seeing things.
Daddy was so matter-of-fact that she had to believe in what she was seeing.
Why are you so surprised? You do it too. I've seen.
You've been watching me? The idea didn't embarrass her. The upside of having a serial killer for a father is that no matter what you do, it's never as bad as what he's done.
I watch all of you.
I can't do that, Fancy said, gesturing at the raindrop, impressed despite herself.
Yet. You'll find yourself doing all kinds of tricks in no time. I did, when I was your age.
Fancy nodded. Is that how you got rid of Mr. Turner's body? Some trick? She could only see his face, but he looked around as though he wasn't alone.
I didn't do anything to his body.
You chopped off his arm. Mata saw you.
Not everybody who gets his arm chopped off dies from it.
So you chopped off his arm, and then let him wander off, and then somebody else killed him?
We live in a crazy world, Fancy Pants. Y'all plan on visiting me before they sick the firing squad on me?
I don't know. Kit always wants to see you. Do you visit her like this?
No. I popped in on Lynn one night, and she made me swear not to do it again. But you were looking in on me, so... You won't tell Lynn, will you?
No. She hates it when we talk about you.
Do you hate me?
Kinda. You messed everything up when you got caught. You messed all of us up. He nodded. He didn't have the hardened look of an inmate, wasn't wild and unkempt. Even in his mugshot, he looked serene and caring, the way Jesus would look in a mugshot.
What I did, he said, had nothing to do with how I feel about you and Kit, and Lynn. I love you.
So what? You think you can just say I love you and make everything okay? Nothing's okay.
Nothing was ever okay. We are who we are, Fancy. Nothing can change that. But if there's enough love, sometimes you can ignore how tumorous the rest of the world is.
I must not have enough then. Because I clearly see that everything sucks. She threw a rock at the water ball and burst it. There was only the rain and silence and loneliness. From Fancy's Dream Diary. Kit told me I sucked at being a real girl. She said fake girls were easy to spot because they couldn't say I love you. Every time I tried to say it, my jaw fell off. Chapter 22. Friday, after Mr. Hofstrom dismissed them from class, Fancy found herself walking with Elon. Not with him, exactly, but it was so easy to fall into stride with him. And so when he stopped before the entrance doors in the lobby of the Standard, she stopped too, and waited. He was unhappy with her. He hadn't put his arm on the back of her chair during class. He hadn't even spoken to her. He'd wanted to, though, she knew. He'd kept opening his mouth to say something, but then he would snap it closed and just sit there glowering at his easel. But now in the lobby he spoke.
What did you do to Tony?
Who?
Tony Castle. Don't play dumb. He disappeared right after I told you about him.
Oh, him. Through the porthole-shaped windows on the entrance doors, Fancy could see the street, see the bench out front, where a group of tweens sat, probably waiting for their ride. Sitting where days before there had been a mess of blood. And that was how it went. You cleaned up the mess and you moved on.
Did you visit him?
Yes.
Did you kill him?
Yes.
Because of what I said about not liking him?
No, because he was an asshole, and I don't use the word lightly. He's in the happy place now.
How can you say that? How can you tell me that?
She found it strange that he seemed more upset that she'd confessed to it than that she'd done it. Boys were weird. I saw how you were with the dogs, the way you kept yourself safe. You decided you would be, and so you were. You have to be strong to bend the world to your will, even a made-up world. Anybody that strong wouldn't be afraid of the truth. He waited until a group passed through the doors and out of the building into the bright afternoon before saying,
I want to see Tony. Will you take me to him?
Fine, but only because I'm bored, not because I want to hang out with you. He pushed through the doors, and Fancy went with him, marveling again at how easily they fell into step with each other. The happy place looked especially pretty today. Fancy stood with Elon on the platform, admiring the view. Jewel-colored birds twittered in the trees. The grass was spit-polished to a high gleam. The flamingos were gone, but fluffy pink rabbits had taken their place and bounded playfully around the stone circles. It was nothing like the way it had been when he'd come before, but Fancy might as well have brought him to a vacant lot. All of his attention was focused on the guitar in his hands, a thick wooden instrument with a black signature scrawled along the body.
This was Tony's, he said. He loved this thing. He got frigging Prince to autograph it. Tony gave it to me and asked me to keep it safe for him. He knew that if his dad found it, he'd pawn it or lose it in a bet or something. Every time he missed rehearsals or pissed off a bandmate or showed up to gigs so high he'd fall off the stage, I'd look at this thing and decide to give him one more chance. Tony didn't have anyone to keep him safe.
He gave Fancy a look like he wanted her to respond, but she had nothing to say. Tony's home life didn't interest her. He turned away from her like she was the uninteresting one.
So where'd you bury him?
She pointed to a tree growing in one of the stone circles.
Under that tree?
He is the tree. He looked more closely and saw that instead of leaves, the tree was covered in many people who were dewy and all looked alike, like clones.
Tony?
He gaped at Fancy.
What did you do to him?
I buried him, and he grew into a tree, said Fancy, as though repeating it for the millionth time. The mini Tonys were nude and cute, and hung from the tree like fruit. Fancy had read somewhere that in China, people grew pears in the shape of Buddha. The Tonys were like that, only alive, blinking their starry eyes and kicking their wee legs. Elon stepped beneath the tree and plucked one of the Tonys, and it wailed so sharply that he dropped it like a hot coal. The Tony hit the ground and rolled onto its back, then stilled, legs and arms curled up like a dead spider. Fancy kicked it away and sat down on the dark, rich soil, and after a slight hesitation, Elon sat next to her. He played something slow and sad on the guitar, his hands trembling.
Play something I know. I'm playing Tony's favorite song, he snapped, not looking up from the guitar strings. You mind if I play Tony's favorite song at his own fucking funeral? Is that what this is? It's the only one he'll ever have.
Elon continued playing, and as he did, the Tonys began to sing. Elon gazed open-mouthed at the fruit above him, at the sweet tone issuing from their throats. As they sang, the happy place people came into the garden wearing their best funeral garb. Fancy waved them closer, and they circled the tree and wept for a boy they'd never met. It was all fake, just as fake as when they'd stood and cried for Kit. But Elon seemed to like all the fuss, seemed to need it. I can't help who I am, she told him, feeling the need to explain. I try to keep it in check. I try real hard. But sometimes I fail. I know he was your friend, but
he wasn't my friend. You're right, he was an asshole. The worst thing about Tony dying is that people will be like, I knew he'd come to a sorry end one day. Because he was wild. Because his dad is a gambler and on drugs. People have this attitude, like they can't stand anyone to come out of a bad situation and survive it.
People say that about me and Kit all the time. That it would be better for us to have never been born than to have a serial killer for a father. There's worse things to have, I guess.
Like morals.
He came to the end of the song, and though the Tonys stopped singing, the weeping continued. Fancy said, "Morals complicate things." She snapped her fingers, and the weeping ended abruptly, as if switched off. "You may leave," she told the mourners. They dispersed through the hedges, but two people remained behind, Franken and a woman with shiny hair and the long, unsturdy legs of a colt. Franken no longer had scars. His skin was as whole and fresh as it had been when the sisters first met him. He was quite handsome, annoyingly handsome. "What happened to your scars?" said Fancy with unnecessary force. People were looking good when they were supposed to be hideous, mourning the death of an asshole when they should have been celebrating. Everything was topsy-turvy. Franken looked nervous.
"After Kit died, I felt like I needed a new start. So I got a new skin from the Godfather tree."
He pointed at a tree a few yards from where she sat. Thick and squat, with pale, skin-like leaves and fruit that looked like golden eyes.
"Everybody's got to fly the coop sometime, right?"
Fancy winced, wondering if people would be throwing those words back in her face for the rest of her life.
"I figured you wouldn't care," Franken continued.
"I don't care." He brushed his hand across the smooth skin of his face.
"I could take it off."
"I said," Fancy clenched her fists, "I don't care." The woman with him put her hand on Franken protectively, as if Fancy couldn't wipe the both of them out of existence just by snapping her fingers.
"This is Gloria."
"Nice to see you again."
The woman smiled at Fancy.
"Again?"
Her voice sounded familiar.
"I remember you from the woods. Where's your sister?"
"She's busy. Sinning."
"Too bad. I wanted to thank her for sending me here. To paradise."
"This is paradise?"
said Elon, as though the idea that people might actually enjoy the happy place were ridiculous.
"It is for me," said Gloria. "Especially after the last place. I was kidnapped by some guy. He kept me in a cellar for 2 years. Never once told me his name."
Like that had been the worst part.
"The cellar she was kept in was way worse than mine," said Franken apologetically, as though to spare Fancy's feelings.
"You were kidnapped and tortured too?" Gloria exclaimed. "We have so much in common. I mean, it's really amazing. I was glad when my guy killed me, because I thought now I can finally be free. But that wasn't what death was like for me. I still felt trapped. I think it was being in those woods, all the roots twining around my bones like shackles. I'm from the panhandle, and I'm just not used to being hemmed in by all those trees. But now I'm free."
She turned to Fancy. "Thanks to your sister. I never thought I'd owe my life to a psycho."
"She wasn't that bad," said Franken, loyal to the end. "She let me go."
"I let you go. If I had left it up to Kit, you'd be buried under our front porch." They backed away from Fancy's outburst, clutching each other like frightened children.
"So, leave!"
They fled so quickly, Fancy could almost see the smoke churning up from their feet.
"You tortured that guy?" said Elon.
He didn't look ready to flee. He'd already proven himself to be more fight than flight. "We barely even touched him." Seeing him unafraid and waiting for her to talk to him calmed her down.
"You tortured him, and then set him free."
Now that he was paying attention to her instead of that guitar, she almost wished he weren't. He had such an intense gaze, like light concentrated through a magnifying glass.
Why couldn't you have done that to Tony? You could have at least thought of me and my band. You could have at least waited until I found a replacement. Now I'm gonna have to be the front man, and I'm not half as good as Tony.
You're 100 times better than him, she said, refusing to believe that Tony could be better than Elon at anything. I'm not sorry I killed him, she said, and then whispered. But I'd take it back if I could.
That's the thing about killing, he said. It can't be undone. Even if you could take it back, why waste it on Tony when you could bring back my pop?
He smiled, but it was so full of pain she had to look away.
Now that would be useful.
Kit is the one who can raise the dead, but even she can't bring them back to life. She thought of Gloria, at least, not in the real world.
If I had the power to resurrect, I'd use it on you.
Now he was the one whispering.
There's an important part of you that's dead, the part that cares.
He brushed the back of his hand over her breast, over her heart. His fingers shook in time to her heartbeat. Fancy couldn't believe he was touching her like that. Couldn't believe she was letting him.
I'd give just about anything if I could make you care, he said. Especially about me.
Under his touch, something sparked. From Fancy's Dream Diary. Kit was painting my toenails with someone's blood, I couldn't tell whose, and describing this weird sexual position that she likes. Kit told me that the trick was to put your head on backward. Like this, she said, and cranked my head around to the back. That's when I saw Elon sitting behind me in the window. I asked him what he thought he was doing in my house, and he said, I'm here to help you get your head on straight. Then he unzipped his jeans. Chapter 23 Fancy woke up Saturday afternoon, sweating, her hand sore because she was squeezing the pencil she used to write her dreams, and it had snapped in half. The broken points left red marks in her palm. She sat up and read what she'd written, as she always did after awakening. She looked wildly about the room, half expecting Elon to be watching her through the screens, half annoyed that he wasn't. Fancy kicked free of the linens and went into Mata's room. The window air conditioner was at full blast, and it felt like the inside of an igloo. Fancy hurried into Mata's bed. Mata rolled over and looked at her sleepily.
What's wrong?
Fancy cuddled next to her. It's too hot in our room.
I thought you girls thrived in the heat.
Kit's not there.
Where is she?
I don't know. She never talks to me anymore. Not now that she's got her precious Gabriel.
You'll get a boyfriend, too.
I don't want one. How could she want one?
Don't be such a little girl, Fancy. You can't be everything to Kit.
I used to be.
Things change.
Change sucks. Almost as much as Kit's disgusting boyfriend.
She's not gonna stop loving you just because Gabe's in her life. She's your sister.
And Daddy's your husband. You stopped loving him.
No, I didn't.
You don't even talk to him, or about him.
Mata rolled onto her back, her arm over her eyes.
Know why?
Because you found out he's a killer and now you hate him?
It's because I found out he's a liar.
The AC was so loud Fancy could barely hear her. If he had told me about the people he'd killed, maybe I would have left him, maybe not. That's not the point. The point is, he didn't trust me enough to give me a choice.
It's a big risk to show someone the real you. It takes a lot of courage. The kind of courage a woman could admire. But he chose not to show himself to me. I had to catch him in the cellar with that poor man's arm and then hear about it on the goddamn news. I can't forgive him for that.
Silence, and then Fancy asked,
Do you know the real me?
You're 15. I don't know if there is a real you. Not yet. But when you find out, I hope you'll know you can trust me, you and your sister. Fancy listened to Mata's breath even out as she slipped back into sleep. She did know who she was, knew exactly. She wished she were brave enough to let Mata see it. Fancy awoke in Mata's bed. It was dark, nearly 10 o'clock according to the red numbers glaring in the dark. Fancy couldn't believe she'd slept all day. Or maybe she could. She'd read somewhere that excessive sleeping was a sign of depression. That's how she felt, deflated and low. Fancy turned on the lamp. Old jam jars decorated nearly every surface in the room, full of things like loose change, bright yellow esperanzas, even goldfish. Fresh dickies were folded on the cabbage rose-printed chair, out of place in the feminine room. On the nightstand beside Fancy sat a crystal decanter of blood-red strawberry wine, a half-empty wine glass, and a bottle of Tylenol PM. As Fancy drained the wine from the glass, she saw the note on the nightstand near the clock. "Kit loves you, and so do I. Remember that." Kit had wanted her to remember it, too. Her and Daddy. But what was the point of love if it didn't keep people from leaving you? Fancy got up to get some water, shuffling along the cool floor. She came to a sudden halt in the living room, where she found Gabriel and Kit nude and intertwined on the couch. Mata had gotten rid of the TV after Guthrie had been arrested and replaced it with a fish tank. The glow of the aquarium washed over their bodies, over the tangle of clothes littering the floor before the couch. The dragonfish was hiding in his cave, possibly traumatized by whatever he had witnessed. Gabriel moaned like even in his sleep he and Kit were... Fancy hurried to the tool shed and rummaged until she found a pair of shears. When she turned around, Gabriel was there, stark naked.
"What are you doing here?" he had the nerve to ask.
"Looking for these?"
She snapped the garden shears. "'Cause I'm gonna cut off your wiener. Good thing you brought it with you."
"You think I'm scared?"
"You should be."
"I'm so used to you after all these years. When you bleed, I feel it. When you eat the flesh of the young, I taste it. I know your dreams."
While she tried to process what he was saying, he snatched the shears. She reached for them, but he took her by the throat.
"I knew you'd come out sometime. And I'd get my hands on you, and I'd show you what it feels like to have someone crawl inside you."
He shoved her to the ground, falling on her heavily.
"There's space just behind your amygdala, just enough room for me to nest."
He tried to kiss her, but Fancy headbutted his mouth and scrambled away. He grabbed her foot and hauled her back beneath him. He snapped the shears, which made a horribly sharp sound.
"It doesn't have to be kisses," he said, smiling despite his split lip. "There are other ways."
"Kit!" He used the shears to cut open Fancy's nightie, the rusty blade cold against her belly.
"There's no one here but me, and when we join, there won't even be that. Just we."
He put the point at her belly button and pushed.
"Gabe!"
Kit appeared in the shed like an angel of mercy, her pink gown floating around her like mist. She took the shears from Gabriel's suddenly slack grip.
"That's not the right way to kick someone's ass, remember?"
Kit tugged him off her sister and kissed him gently and patted his cheek.
"Wake up, Buttercup!"
"Wake up?" Fancy clutched her gown together.
"You think he's asleep?"
"He sleepwalks! Gabe!"
Kit slapped his face the way Fancy wanted to, only Fancy wanted to use a 2x4. Gabriel put his hand to his head and squinted at Kit. She ran her hand over his wild hair and looked at Fancy.
"You were sleepwalking?"
"The hell he was. He tried to gut me with the shears."
He looked at the shears Kit had set aside and rose to his feet so he could back away from them, from Fancy.
"I'm so sorry."
"The hell with sorry."
Fancy tried to kick his balls, but she was still sitting on the floor and the angle was bad.
"Fancy, let him alone!"
Kit pulled him out of the shed.
"He tried to kill me!"
"You tried to kill him first, in the happy place," said Kit unsympathetically.
"Now you're even."
She tried to help Fancy up, but Fancy smacked her hand away. I told you not to touch me. Fancy stood on her own 2 feet and ran into Mata's room. She locked the door and shivered for a long time. But once the trembles worked their way out of her system, she picked up the phone. Your brother just tried to kill me. Elon said,
I'm on my way.
Fancy was sitting on the back porch steps when Elon arrived. A guy in a pickup truck dropped him off. She heard Elon say,
Thanks, man,
before the driver disappeared down the road. Fancy hurried to Elon as he approached the front of the house.
Is my brother still alive?
So far.
Kit and Gabriel were back in the living room, murmuring in the dark, so Fancy led Elon to the back porch so she wouldn't have to hear them.
What did he do?
Elon asked when they were seated on the steps.
My sister.
Well, you knew about that.
They were on the couch. I have to sit on that couch. After I saw them, I went to the tool shed to
get a weapon, and...
Fancy was silent a moment, surprised that Elon could read her so well. Surprised and irritated. He's the one who jumped all over me, so don't make me out to be the bad guy. She told him what happened.
He gets like that sometimes,
Elon said, as though they were discussing a case of the sniffles.
If it was anybody but you, I'd be worried.
I was lucky Kit came out, or he'd have cut me open. You don't even care, do you?
I care. But karma's a bitch, Fancy.
That's all? You came all the way out here to tell me that what goes around comes around?
No.
Elon hopped off the porch and held his hand out to her.
Come walk with me.
Fancy looked at his hand a long moment before she took it. The pads of his fingers were very rough, but the rest of his hand was baby soft.
Look at that.
He pointed across the backyard at the moon tree in bloom. Fancy looked up and saw a full moon, its bright white light mirrored in the moonflowers. Elon squeezed her hand.
You know it's bad luck to tell lies under a moon tree.
Durr. But you can ask me anything. I got nothing to hide. Not from you. Fancy was surprised that she meant every word, but Elon was nothing if not discreet.
Must be nice to be such an open book,
he said as they neared the moon tree.
I think God made me out of secrets.
God made me out of steel.
You don't seem that tough to me.
Well, I am. Fancy let go of his hand and marched through the mahonia bushes ringing the tree.
Tough as...
Elon followed behind her.
Tough as what?
Cacklers. But even as she said the word, Elon saw them himself beneath the moon tree, outlined in the moonlight. They were short, only 4 feet tall when they stood upright. These were on all fours and had looked up at Fancy's intrusion. They were thin and had fat, round heads that were almost cute, but their many rows of teeth were less cute, as were their screaming laughs, the sound they made whenever they spotted prey. They weren't laughing, though. They seemed more startled than hungry, their normally pink eyes red in the moonlight. But when Elon and Fancy didn't leave, they reared onto their spindly hind legs and rushed Elon and Fancy in a mad, cackling run. Fancy remembered the advice the Mortmain had given her, about how she should never run because only prey ran. But she ran anyway, and was tackled from behind. She fell into the bushes, and something poked her in the back. Fangs? But almost as quickly as the weight had landed on her back, it vanished. Trying to outrun a cackler was pointless. They were speedy and tireless. But they were much lighter than humans, and their big pumpkin heads were their weak spot. Elon had pulled the cackler off Fancy, and once he had the writhing creature on the ground next to its dead companion, Elon beat against its head with his boot. It fought back, clawing Elon's arms with its horny nails and its teeth. Fancy tried to help with the stomping, but it snapped at her bare foot and nearly bit it off. Fancy decided to stay out of it, but Elon kept up the attack until the thing's head was a pulpy mess, and it lay still. Elon dragged the carcasses away, deeper into the woods, and then came back and sat next to Fancy beneath the moon tree, breathing hard and cleaning goo off his boots.
You can sit up now, scaredy cat.
I'm not scared of anything. Except monsters.
But you're made of steel, Fancy, remember? So why would you be scared of one measly cackler?
There were two, and I am made of steel. And shut up. Fancy continued lying on the grass, fighting a weird urge to fall asleep. They were so busy fighting each other, I'm surprised they even bothered attacking us. They probably wouldn't have if you hadn't come barging in and spooked them.
Elon hauled her upright, and Fancy let him, marveling at his sturdiness as she snuggled next to him.
Fancy, it's mating season.
It sounded like he was trying not to laugh.
They weren't fighting. Why do you think yours had a boner?
Fancy remembered the hard spike that had been jabbing her in the back. Puke, and stop laughing at me. Excuse me for not being fascinated by monster genitalia, unlike some people.
I never said I wasn't a pervert.
I guess it runs in your family. Elon froze beside her. Well, he is a pervert. How would you feel if a perverted maniac was dating your sister? Wouldn't you do whatever it took to protect her? Elon kept quiet. You're sitting under the moon tree, she reminded him. You have to tell the truth. She reached up and plucked a sweet moonflower, holding it before Elon's mouth like a microphone.
Gabe would never hurt your sister.
Of course he would, and it wouldn't be the first time he hurt someone he loved, would it, Elon? Elon scooted away from her.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means I know one of your secrets.
Gabe loved Pop, so whatever crazy thing you're thinking,
that Gabriel's the one who went crazy and killed Mr. Turner, not stop thinking it. Fancy knew she should have been put out by him raising his voice, but there was something exciting about the way he yelled.
Even if Gabe killed him, he continued, oblivious to Fancy's thoughts. Even if Gabe killed a truckload of people, who are you to judge him?
Fancy decided to back off, not because she was afraid of Elon's anger, but because she could hear beyond the anger, hear the hurt underneath it all. Pain is relatives, she said, almost to herself. He sighed away his anger in one long breath.
You have no frigging idea.
Fancy didn't want to hurt him, but she didn't mind teasing him.
I know some things. Like what?
I know what you want to do to me. I had a dream. Fancy remembered something, Elon framed in the window, but then lost it. She reached out and touched his face, saw the moonlight flash in his eyes. There wasn't nearly enough light for what she wanted to see, which was everything. Or maybe you're so upset about the whole I hate Gabriel situation that you don't want me anymore?
I still want you.
Elon touched her face the same way she was touching his.
I don't love Gabe that much.